I know the kind of pain you're feeling, Alex. I once had it myself.
You some kind of doctor?
No, Alex. I am Magneto, and I have come to offer you sanctuary.
Welcome to Season 3 of the Grounded Futures Podcast. This is the show where we discuss topics that are important to our collective survival and thrival. We also dig into ways youth, and anyone really, can gain new skills to thrive amid current and ongoing disasters. This season's meta theme is all about trust. Trust in ourselves, trust in our work and art, and trust in each other. We are your hosts, William and Carla.
Welcome to our show. We produce Grounded Futures on Squamish, Musqueam, and Tsleil-Waututh lands, but our guests are from around the world. A big thank you to Zach Bergman for our show music, and a big thank you to Robin Carrico for our show art.
And before we start today's show, here is a short jingle from one of our pals over at Channel Zero Network.
What's up, y'all? I'm Pearson, host of Coffee with Comrades. Coffee with Comrades is rooted in militant joy. Our hope is to cultivate a warm and inviting atmosphere, like walking into your favorite coffee shop to sit down with some of your close friends and share a heart-to-heart conversation. New episodes premiere every Tuesday, so be sure to smash that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts so that you never miss an episode. We are proud to be a part of the Channel Zero Network.
Today we are joined by the wonderful Kari McClelland, imaginative, bold, genuine, hopeful. Kari is an award-winning musician and creative facilitator who uses the arts and experimental activities for transformational learning. Based in Vancouver, Canada, Kari has worked with communities across Africa, Australia, Europe, North America, and the Caribbean. In a world with increasingly complex societal challenges, the need for values-based creative solutions is paramount. Kari helps youth and adults explore core values and creativity as a means to self-actualization, community building, and problem solving. His approach is warm, insightful, and engaging. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. What a pleasure. What an honor.
Yeah, it's an honor to have you here. Thanks. I love that bio. It just captures who you are and who I've had the pleasure to share in community with. It's beautiful. Thank you. I'm so grateful that you said yes to open our third season because, you know, the world's a bit hard right now and you just bring just such bright light and pockets of joy. And so thanks for being here.
Thank you.
I wanted to just, this is going to lead to a question, but when I first saw you, you were singing with the Roots Gospel group, the Sojourns, at a protest up at Clark Park. And I was I was getting to that point where protests were feeling not particularly a generative space for me. And seeing you three and hearing you three and what that did to the crowd, it was like this new moment of enlivening. And so we can talk a bit about that in a sec, about your music stuff. But, and then of course we did some other things along the way, but the thing that isn't, etched in my soul is that you said yes to come to the closing of the Thistle and saying lean on me with all of us. And we all sang along. And I just, people who listen to the show know how much the Thistle was for me and what it meant to me. And so,
many people,
thank you so much for that moment. And it's in our film too. So everyone gets to see it over and over again of you singing that song. Thank you for that. Speaking of music, this is sort of a two-parter, but I always go look at people's Twitter, and in your Twitter you have all you have there is for you I'd have to lay down my sword and shield, which I think that might be a Mahala Jackson song line, or is there a reason why? Like, I'm just so curious. I like to ask why people like that. I think that's a spot where you're saying something you really want people to hear. And,
I mean, I think whether I'm not a really religious person, but it's so funny. I've like been drawn into, doing traditional African American music. I it came later in my life that I started to lean in that direction, and I think part of what I got from it was like listening to people like Mahalia Jackson and just like listening to the honesty of her conviction, the honesty of her emotive belief. And like, I understand a very similar tangent in punk music. I feel that, I really feel that just like, oh, I really feel like who's in front of me is telling their truth. The life they've lived, the experiences they've had, the wounds, like they're telling me the truth of what they feel. And so I think that's, what led me in the direction of singing that kind of music and what comes with that, and like just being brought up in a place where I was surrounded by a lot of poor black people. There's a lot of religiosity in those communities, even though my specific family didn't go to church. But those kinds of references, lay down your sword and shield. Those are calls to peace. Those are imaginings of a future where we won't have violence and coercion, and punitive measures as the main way that we deal with difference, as the main way that we deal with conflict, as the main way that we deal with disagreement. And so I think maybe that's what I was getting at.
That's amazing, though. I love it.
That's beautiful that you trust how people show up. I mean, and they're going to be, oh, thank you. And I love, yes, the connection to punk, right? For sure. I was actually going to lead in to get you to unpack a bit about where music began for you, but do you want to sort of, oh no, you have the next question. Sorry, we're just back at it after a hiatus.
Oh yeah, I love it. I love it. I love
Yeah, I guess like when did it all begin for you? Like when did you start writing and singing, and what came first? And I'm kind of curious about like how it connected to creating better worlds and how you see that as increasing justice and your community work as a not just a facilitator for everybody, but we're always particularly interested in how did that shows up with youth as well.
Yeah, so I think I hear like a couple. I feel like I heard like maybe two or three questions in there. So
Yeah, I do that. So just ask for clarity if
yeah, I think I'll tell you what I think I heard. What
Okay.
one was, like, where does my songwriting come from? Like, how do I engage with creativity? How does that relate to like my care for community? So I think does that were those the main two kind of things?
Yeah, and how it connects.
And how
How
that
does the
connects.
song run through this, all this work?
So one thing that I'm kind of interested in right now is like, how do I honor the people and the communities of my making, which actually includes you. But it also includes like the 15-year-old black boys that I grew up around. It also includes my grandma and Sister St. Clair down the block, my grandfather who's still here, my sister who I just spoke with. How do I honor them, and why to honor them? And like part of when I thought about like 15-year-old black boys, I was just thinking about like, whoa, what a creative, vibrant space that was for me. That there was constantly creativity, laughter through dance, through music. Through, we were constantly rapping, improvised lyrics. I grew up also singing in choirs and doing music and stuff like that, mostly through school. Some music tutelage at home and stuff like that. So like when I think about like where does creativity come from? I think it is just like to be human is to be creative, to allow yourself that privilege is really where it's at. Like, do you allow yourself to take the liberty of your own body and your own experience to actually allow it to be transmitted to others? And is there a community that is willing to witness you and receive you in that way? And I think that's something to seek if you don't have it. Because there are people who want that too. It's good to find that community of people who can witness you, and be in the banter of that play, that creative play. So when I think about like where do my songs come from and what does my creative process come from, I think it comes from something that's internal and ancient, but it also comes from something that is about the interplay of people and communities of practice. And then like how does that relate to like social justice and that kind of work? I mean, it's interesting. I feel like maybe it's part of getting older, maybe it's part of being a new parent, but I feel so much less an expert. Like I feel like when I was younger, I really thought I knew exactly what the answers might be. And it's not that I haven't lost my sense of what some of those answers might be, but it's like I'm so into the possibility of me being wrong. And that the kind of Western linear mapping for consequence, intention, action, consequence, and outcome. Like, I think we all have to use our agency to try to build the world that we want to see. But I think we all have to be ready for being wrong. Because the forces that are at play are much larger than I think, at least me, I have the capacity to fully wrap my head around. There are many forces of inertia moving in different directions that are connected to the natural forces of the universe as well, but also just like people and movement and political thought and social thought and movements all happening simultaneously, so that the thing that I thought was the best idea that was going to solve everything might actually make things worse. And I have to be okay with switching course. I don't know, all of that to say, like, my relationship to like, what does it mean to be a just person, to be working towards justice, to how understand how that what that relates to in a community. I'm just much more, it's become much more localized for me. I think COVID did that. I think becoming a parent did that. It's like, how can I be in good relationship with my partner? How can I be in good relationship with my child? How can I be in good relationship and right relationship with the neighbors in my co-op? Mau Dan Co-op. Cooperative living is amazing. Yeah, how can I do that? And like, how might those people actually help to guide my understanding of what is right and just? As opposed to like something that is very far off and philosophical, and s towards something that is much more praxis or action, inactioned, in my daily life, so that it's more like a practice that the justice that I'm trying to build and seek is relational, and I actually have the opportunity to practice it regularly. So a really long answer to to how social justice and then how those things connect. I'm still figuring it out, I'm trying to do creative projects with with people that I respect and that I have relationship with. And so yeah, I hope that that was a useful answer.
That was a great answer. Yeah, definitely. It's very justice begins at home and all that,
Right
it's
where we
really
live,
right where
yeah.
we live. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, thank you so much. You just really connected a whole pile of. It's funny you talk about it, the inertia of like the complexity and the horrors and including the movement stuff, but you just really brought it down to its heart. And so thank you for that.
Yeah, definitely. Just okay.
You
That
kind of
actually,
spoke a bit to this, but
yeah, you spoke a bit to it, but this is a good way to lead to the next question, which is my whole life, I've definitely been someone to just sing all the time, just randomly
Yay.
and all that kind of stuff. And since you are a singer and songwriter, I mean, not to get all Elton John here, but the song is your gift.
It's true.
I am wondering if you can share some advice for folks to find their voice and song and ways to nurture it more.
It's your right. It's yours.
That's
You
amazing.
don't need to ask permission. You are born worthy. You don't need to, what is that Mary Oliver thing? You don't need to get on your knees begging the da 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 da. Like, you are worthy of your voice. Yeah. Use it in the service of yourself and others. You'd be shocked at how powerful and inspiring and useful and healing it is for others to hear your voice. It is, again, like part of what I was saying about punk and about gospel music, black gospel music for me. Part of what I get from those particular, I think jazz sometimes has this quality too, but it isn't try it is not valuable because it's pretty. It is not valuable because it's perfect. It is valuable because it is an honest attempt at sharing with the world what is felt through the experience of being a human being and a human body moving through this life, which can be really challenging, because of the larger systemic forces, but also those the for you know the challenge of being in interpersonal relationship, but also the challenge of just being with yourself. So I think, yeah, using your voice, it's a healer. It's proven. And to deny yourself that opportunity is to deny yourself a healing. So that's my, again, and then find people who can witness you if that's what you want, if you want to witness. Find people who can witness you and also have a sense of humor about it all. Like, don't be so serious about how you're supposed to be. And also, stop comparing yourself to some specialized group of people who are in the media, whether it be social or the radio or the whatever the thing, the streaming. Yeah, there now we have like this thing where it's like, oh, there's an elite core of people who are allowed to sing. But for millennia and millennia, it has been our healing. It has been our way of being human again. It's our way of understanding the universe. It is a completely abstractive form too, and yet it is so moving and so tangible at the same time. That's all I got.
That was amazing. Music is such a big thing in our house.
A gift.
A
Oh.
gift that is like that is a great answer. That is amazing.
Yeah. I'm having a lot of feelings right now.
Yeah.
I was like,
Yeah,
Thank you.
same, same. I
Yeah,
always felt, oh, I can't sing because I'm not trained in all these kind of things, but it's like, it's not what it's about. So that's amazing. Really good answer.
Beautiful. Speaking of music, would you be okay if we played one of your songs on this episode?
Absolutely.
We'd put it into the ed beat, of course.
Yeah, we'd
Not
put it
for
in. We'd put
you.
it in here, but I'm going to the one we're listening to a lot right now, because it
Yeah.
literally lifts us up, is Feels Real Good. And
Awesome.
if you're okay with us sharing that song, I'm curious if you, before everyone listens, hello
Yeah.
listeners, can you maybe tell a little bit about, what drew that song out or where it came from or why you released it, at this time?
Absolutely. Like one thing I would say is like I really think the video experience is really powerful. So if you have an opportunity to check out the video, please do. It happened just before the pandemic. So the video, you'll see like people, community dancing together, there's something so that was so genuinely just sweet and beautiful about the space that we were able to hold together. It also shows a lot of the natural world, and myself relating to the natural world and also the repercussions of humans on land and so anyway, check out the video if you can. And then in terms of like, why this song and why this time for that song? I mean, I had the music for that song and I had this idea of Feels Real Good, but I didn't actually have the lyrics. And then I went into the studio and I just was like, oh, I didn't have any, I didn't have much prepared around it. And I just was like, I got this groove and these notes and it just feels good to be inside this groove. I just want to do something with it. And we went in there and laid down like a bed track. For people who don't know what that is, it's just like kind of like the music behind the verse. And so I had that and I was like, okay, I've got to go back in the studio tomorrow and lay down a whole bunch of lyrics. And I had nothing at the time. And I woke up in the morning, maybe 5, 6 in the morning. This is before I had a little person in my house. 5 or 6 in the morning. And I just went for a long walk. I just walked and walked and walked and walked. Oh, now it's coming to me. Before that, I'd gone on the internet, on social media, on Facebook. I generally have a real dislike for a lot of social media, but this is like a good moment for its use. I just asked people, what do you do when you're feeling up against it? Like when you're feeling overwhelmed? When it's really hard, what do you do to resource yourself? And I just took everybody's answers, and that was the lyrics for the song. So it's actually a community, like it's a community art piece, basically. It's like me just like taking all the little pieces of different people's lyrics, jotting them down, and then like figuring out like how can they work together? How can they be together? So it is a representation of like, yeah, the beauty, the sweetness of collective effort. And so yeah, that's what I can say about that song. That's
Oh
what I
my
can
God, that is
say.
beautiful. No wonder it's so uplifting. It's like we just like, no matter what kind of mood we are, we put it on, we just start dancing and singing along. Like, the one line, it's for the smiles you give me when I was down. And oh, they're just
Yeah.
one after another. Enjoy, listeners.
And this is for you and all that you do. For all the things this life has put you through. This is for the loved ones, past and present. For the mirror of your love heaven sent. Never giving up on me, to help me to get free. But love me as I am, support me to be the best me. This is for the smiles you gave me when I was down. For the times you picked me up and handed me my starry crown. I'll never forget all that you have done for me. No, no, no. Never forget the sweet memories. The sound of the waves on the sea. The smell of your skin like therapy. Forest walks and cedar trees. Loving you is easy. And it feels good.
What it is.
It feels real good.
What it is.
Don't you know it feels good? You know it feels real good, feels so good, feels real good. Oh, you know it feels real good,
feels so good,
real good, real good, real good. You know you make me feel real good, real good, real good. For this body, this mortal coil, like seeds and soil, a timeless love unspoiled. You see me when I can't see myself, pulled my love up off the shelf.
You know you make me feel real good.
Sailing across the waves of time, for these precious moments, your hand in mine.
You know you make me feel real good.
The voices of our children singing in chorus, joy bells ringing for us.
You know you make me feel real
so
good.
These days of woe,
all the bread we break, all the time we take. No, time is short, for goodness sake. This life, what a gift to share. This moment, this fire,
you know,
will always be there. Eternal flame, natural height type of thing. Your love sustains, unparalleled connector of all things. I am because of you, you are my shining star. You give me the strength and power. You're the maximum shield in a meteor shower. Yeah, and you make me feel so good. In spite of the darkness in these days of woe, you give me the strength to push this heavy load.
Thank you. Yeah. Oof, so good. Is the joy bells you ring?
Thank
beautiful.
You.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We are grounding this season in the ideas and action around trust, how to grow trust in ourselves and how to make art/create and in how we connect with others, etc. So with that, how does trust animate your life?
Wow, I just feel tearful when I don't know why. But I think part of it is, you know, it's being with yourself. I think that's part of why I feel tearful as I hear the question is, you know, what does it mean to trust oneself? And how do you develop that trust? And I think part of what you have to do is be forgiving of yourself. And I think you also have to be willing to actually fail and to accept that there will be, it won't always be smooth. There will be moments where it will be crunchy And it's how we show up actually to the crunchy moments that is as or more conducive to trust than anything else. And so whether that's within myself, within my interpersonal relationships, within, you know, my larger network or community, I think part of the path to trust is actually a willingness to show up through moments of discomfort, and to continue to try to show up with love and consistency. And sometimes that looks like boundaries. Sometimes that looks like a certain amount of distance. You know, I can't remember who, but someone who was very wise said, like, boundaries is the distance at which I can love you, you know. And so sometimes, you know, those boundaries are big and wide and far, and, you know, it means like infrequency of interaction or pauses on interaction. But I think if underneath that is not like I'm ghosting, but I'm pausing, I'm giving space or breath to the possibility of renewal and reconnection, to deepening relationship, because I do know that on the other side of the difficulty, of the discomfort, is something that is very deep and profound, and it's happened to me over and over again, both inside myself and with others, is that when I show up and I am accountable to the relationships, the trust deepens, the relationships deepen, the love deepens, the sense of commitment deepens.
That was amazing. Yeah, those are conversations that we have at home as well. Trusting's, you gotta, I mean, it's the whole trusting yourself to be able to trust others and stuff. It's really beautiful.
Yeah, it just feels like the foundation for it all. And I love the way you connected it to that, to boundaries, because, you know, when I've made some hard decisions around particularly my first family, people say, oh, you're running away. I was like, no, I'm trusting myself for the first time in my life. Like, you know, and it's, right. So wait, no, this one.
Oh yeah. That one.
So the meta theme of the whole, kind of Grounded Futures platform, where we do a lot of different shows, I do it with with Jamie Lee and Melissa, shout out, is this idea of thrivistance. So this idea of like thriving amid the horrors and hard times and challenging times. And definitely anytime I'm walking through Strathcona and I see you or with your lovely child or whatever, just thriving comes is one of the words that bumped into my head. But we like to share, and hopefully you'll want to share with our listeners some of the ways you do cultivate thriving in the everyday moments, pockets.
Yeah, it's so funny. Immediately, I just thought about vegetation. Immediately, I thought about, you know, the garden, which could be very like literal, but also could be metaphoric. I want to tend to something. I want to grow something. Again, I'm starting to feel verklempt. I'm feeling like, I want to grow my friendships. I want to grow my family. I want to grow my community. But I also want to grow that kale. I also want to grow that garlic, you know, and I'm like, I think that the idea of stewardship, when we think about indigenous peoples on these lands, the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh people here, I think about what it means to love into existence. It's funny. I often talk about ancestors in that way. Who are the people that help to love you into existence? And I don't mean like biologically, although that could be the thing that you reference when you think about, you know, what helped to, or who and what helped to love you into existence. But I think about, what does it mean to be a person like that? What does it mean to be a person who is actively participating in trying to grow things, relationships, understanding, love? I think that's probably what you're seeing. And I'm telling you right now, it's not always graceful. It's, you know, it's like sometimes I cut myself. Sometimes I bruise someone, you know, and I can't tell if it's just me or if I am, or if it's the hubris, if it's hubris on my part to think that other people must feel things that are similar to me. Like when those bruisings happen or those accidents or those flights of anger or frustration come out, and I'm doing the opposite of growing the thing. And it could be because of these external forces, you know, it could be because, oh, I got to work so hard in this city just to survive. Because this is the world that's been made and created that I allow myself to actually feel what that feels like. And I believe that other people feel that too. And we're all kind of longing for a bridge or a path to healing and regrowing or tending to those ruptures of relationship.
That was amazing. Beautiful. Every time you say something, I'm like, how do I reply? That was really good. You said everything. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. And also, like, just keep with the garden metaphor. Mm-hmm. I mean, compost is stinky. Mm. You know, like, it's just
that sweet funk.
Yeah, sweet funk.
Yeah, exactly.
those hot spots and hard spots of, tending. I love it. What a beautiful way of. I love the idea of connecting, like tending to our relationships and to our each other and to the land.
That poster over there that's from the soil.
Oh, friendship will be the soil of the soil of the new politics from Ivan Illich. Yeah.
Yeah, we have a poster that says that on it.
Yeah.
Of that.
Yeah, that is for sure. Beautiful.
Yeah.
I don't know. No, this.
Okay. Now we are wondering, though, what are you planning on working on next? Like,
what are you excited about? What are you doing? Tell everybody.
Yeah.
As much as you want.
Yeah.
When is this coming out?
Probably early next week.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. I mean, I've got a book, that's out on Talon. I got a foreword from Cecily Nicholson, Governor General awarded author, writer,
she's
heavy
incredible.
Thinker. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's co-written with Andrew Kushner, writer, director, dramaturge, actor, out of Toronto. Also somebody who's deeply committed to like working towards justice, to uplifting and highlighting the power of people who are moving through thrivistance.
Yeah.
I like to build new words.
Yeah, I like it. But it's a book called Moving the Center. It has two plays as the pillars. One being Freedom Singer, which is connected to my work, and then one that is called Small Acts, which is connected to Andrew. And then there are two essays, one that he writes, one that I write. And then in the center of the book is a central conversation between the two of us talking about theater, talking about community, arts practice, audience, you know, how to build bridges across difference. Yeah. So that's the thing.
Sounds incredible.
That's amazing.
And is it out now?
It is. It
yeah.
Is.
I nice. Am off social media, so I often miss things unless
I haven't don't. Talked about it yet.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm really excited to hear you have a book. That is, yeah. just delights me and everyone who's involved. And besides that recommendation, one of the things we do offer our listeners are recommendations. And cool. But it can be any genre, including books.
Wow.
And it can be a mix of, or you can speak to stuff that inspired you early on in life towards this path, or stuff you're currently reading, a mix of both, podcasts, music.
What you think would be good inspiration for others.
For youth.
Yeah. mm-hmm.
You know, feel free to share a few.
Wow. I'm going to say The Water, like Bodies of Water. I'm going to ask people to engage with Bodies of Water as instruction for how to be in the world.
That's amazing. Yes. That is the best answer.
You know, people don't win or lose in my paradigm world, but meh.
That was amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. And what I'd also encourage people to do with their own, like maybe journaling practice or something, or I don't know how people, you know, people have different ways of engaging with this, but to take a moment to think of all the times you are wrong about something, and that you grew your understanding from the place of realizing your wrongness. And the reason why I offer that is I think anytime we get into a place artistically, socially, politically, where we don't remember how we grew our understanding, the stumbling, the flailing, the missteps, the misunderstandings, that we can really become full of ourselves. And I think there's something that is so important about humbling ourselves before one another. It's very easy to have ideas about how people should be, about how we inside ourselves should be, so that we set up ourselves and others for failure. And so really trying to meet yourself and others where they're at is why I offer that practice of just remembering all the times that you were wrong sighted, wrong footed, or had some like really weird idea about a thing. And then you're like, oh, wow, I don't think that's actually the best idea. that I think it's like, it's powerful because it actually provides this, like one thing is that it's humbling, but the other thing is that like, I can grow. I can grow my understanding. I can grow my relationships. Things can actually become better. I can become wiser and stronger and more flexible. This is beautiful. As long as you don't feel like you have to be perfect all the time, then you can come to that, you know? But I think, anyway, those are my two. Water and list all the things that you've been wrong about
Those are amazing recommendations.
Oh my gosh. When I was on social media, I think all I mostly posted was water, roses, and acorns.
Yeah. The ocean.
Beautiful.
That's amazing.
I love that you brought that up. The show that's on hiatus, the other show on our platform called Silver Threads. This is the reason why we did that show. We did that show so that long-term organizers could share their stories of mistakes, failures, and joys.
Yes.
Because I think there is there's a desire, and it bleeds out of individualism and celebrity status, to pedestal people when they are sharing an idea. And and I never really thought about it as a practice. So, that's people amazing. Would share. So this is just it's just sewed up a whole pile of stuff for me. And I'm really, I'm looking forward to doing that practice. What a gift. And, it's everything.
Hey, can I read you the first paragraph from my essay in the book?
Please. Yes.
Okay.
Oh. I love when folks read from their books on our show.
Yeah.
Okay. It's going to take me 2 seconds. I just got to run and fly and grab the book. Okay. Be right back.
Yeah.
Okay.
So here we go. Just for your benefit, this doesn't need to be necessarily for the listeners, but it actually opens with an epigraph of a poem from Lucille Clifton. And, it's entitled Blessing the Boats. So this is just for you. This is a little gift just for you too. May the tide that is entering even now, the lip of our understanding, carry you out. Beyond the face of fear, may you kiss the wind, then turn from it, certain that it will love your back. May you open your eyes to water, water waving forever, and may you, in your innocence, sail through this to that. So the name of the title for the essay is How Do We Get From Here to There?
That is amazing.
Are you sure I can't share that?
Sure. Yeah.
So that is from the thing you just read was from
Lucille Clifton. It's an epigraph. Yeah.
That was beautiful. Yeah.
That was amazing.
Okay. So how do we get from here to there? And by that, I mean, how do we become what we are longing to be? How can we become wiser, more generous, kinder, more thoughtful, stronger, more flexible? I think the path is iteration, trying over and over again, making mistakes, revising, regularly adjusting our tack and trajectory. A metaphor I like to use to describe this existential journey is that of walking. As infants, many of us learn to walk, driven by the will to explore ourselves and our relationship to the world around us. It is often a clumsy and hazardous effort. What is remarkable is that those who witness these events are often drawn to cheer for the one who tries with great effort as they fail, falling victim to gravity over and over again. One way of understanding what is happening is failure. Another way to understand what is happening is iteration. What is walking after all? Isn't it the graceful act of catching yourself over and over again as you fall? Shouldn't this be the way we understand the practice of art making? Shouldn't we have permission to try, to find grace as we stumble forwards, compelled by the curiosity and the desire to understand ourselves and our relationship to the world around us? This is what art is for me when I allow it to be. This is what Freedom Singer was and is for me.
Wow. Stunning. Beautiful. I love walking, and walking as a metaphor, and walking is just, that's beautiful. Thank you. I can't wait to get that book.
That is amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Thank you for your time. Oh, what a joy to be with you.
Yeah. I mean, same. And before we go though,
Oh, I wanted you to tell folks how they can find your work,
the book, your music.
Yeah, for those that are wanting to engage with the work, Moving the Center, you can go to Talon's website, put in Moving the Center, you can put my name in, and it will come up. But also, if you live in the area and you want a copy, you can go to Massey Books in Chinatown. They are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also doing some instruction for a few courses at SFU. So if you want to engage in a kind of more educational setting, community capacity building is an incredible program that really seeks to highlight the wisdom and experiences and knowledge of people who are generally not accredited by universities. You'll be amongst people who have incredible wealth of knowledge, but it's not necessarily certified with a PhD. Not that there has never been a person with a PhD in that class, but it's like people who are just so rich in community capacity building. So as much as we are instructing the course, we are being instructed by the participants who all have done incredible community work. And we're as a cohort and as a group, just learning from each other. And you know, it can be a path for some others who want that kind of accreditation to have it. So that's one thing that we're doing at SFU. I'm also working in instruction through the School of Dialogue around public engagement, civic engagement, and facilitation. So for folks who are wanting to do that sort of thing, they're very short courses. CCB is 6 months, but the other two courses are relatively short. And yeah, you know, I'm still doing music here and there. I'm probably going to have some more music coming out before too long. And just growing this family over here. That's kind of the main thing that's happening right now. It's the focus with so young a being in the house.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah.
And we'll throw all those links in the show notes for folks to, and cool. including your website. And mm-hmm. yeah, this was beautiful.
Yeah, really
Thank
great.
Thank you. Thank you. What a gift to spend time together. I miss you.
Yeah.
And I miss the thistle too, as you, you know.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As you know. As soon as you said it, I was like
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
You know, well,
yeah.
I imagine y'all are gonna do something cool with your growing of your home family and the kids around you. That's where the thistle came from. You know, it came from parenting and being in community with youth.
Yeah. I'm excited for that. And you know, as a total aside,
uh-huh.
a thing that I got into during the pandemic, which I never would have imagined myself doing, is sailing.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Water.
And, yeah. And I'm very interested in like figure out how to make it be more accessible, because mm-hmm. I think the way that I thought about it in relationship to myself and the communities that I've grown in and come up in, it seems inaccessible.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd love to figure out ways to especially engage with young people in the water, and to figure out ways to make that space more and more accessible, because I think it provides one, like this really precious connection to the natural world
mm-hmm.
and the natural forces that are active on the world. And I just never can think about anything troubling when I'm on the water, because I'm just I'm really engaged with what I'm doing,
right.
which has the consequence of great peril if you do not.
Right. Yeah, it's the ultimate act of having to be present. There's yeah. no choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
I love
and,
it.
And, you know, even when, you know, I've got a life vest on and I got a, you know, like if I'm sailing in a dinghy or something, small boats, that I still just kind of know, like, this is really important. I have to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And the boat itself responds.
Yeah.
When I'm present, it does the things I need it to. When I'm not, yeah. it
no,
doesn't.
Exactly.
And so anyway,
yeah,
that's
well,
something
folks
that
out there
I'm
listening. If you know, connect, because I agree. What a beautiful
yeah,
thing to do.
Is,
yeah, I'm excited to. Yeah, if you are curious about sailing and you want to contact me, please do. Instagram yeah. is actually probably the place where I have mentioned this the most publicly. It's I go by Kari. IGOBYKHARI.
Okay.
And yeah, I'd be happy to go out on the water or talk to you about the water or the boats.
Hey, and that's also a skill. Mm-hmm. It's a skill sharing, skill gaining thing that it connects to climate catastrophe. Like
yeah.
it's actually it's a viable skill to train and to be part of in
100%.
Considering where we live. So I think your fingers on the pulse of
it started
big.
It started at the beginning of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My curiosity and my interest grew through the pandemic and just being like, oh, this is actually a survival skill. And what if the roads didn't work? And what if
absolutely
how would you get from here to there?
Yeah, yeah. Share food and resources.
Yeah,
oh, it's
totally
beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I look forward to hearing and seeing more of that.
Yeah. Okay, lots of love.
Love.
Thank you
love,
for
love,
everything
love.
That you both are doing. It's so wonderful to be with you both, and
you.
Yeah, what a real pleasure just to be in conversation.
Thanks for listening to our show. Grounded Futures is a media production and mentorship collaborative, and this podcast is produced by Carla Bergman, William Joy, Jamie Lee Gonzalez, and Melissa Roach. And our sound tech is by Chris Bergman.
Resources and transcripts for this episode are in the show notes. If you want to donate some funds or check out our other awesome shows, head over to groundedfutures.com or email us with comments and suggestions at groundedfutures@gmail.com. And please tune in next time to hear more from our incredible guests on how to thrive in the everyday.